Blog Talk Radio.
Have you always known that a reality greater than this should exist? Is now the time for you to step up and be the change you require in your life? What if that quiet whisper calling from the deep depths of you is the whisper of change? The whisper of what is truly possible? Would you be willing to start listening? Would you be willing to choose the true you? It's just a choice. Welcome to the What If Show, where possibility meets reality. And it is an evening in South Africa, and you know the beautiful thing is I am actually having a conversation with Laura, getting her onto the call at the moment. I just want to say thank you so much for everyone joining the show this evening, and I have come to know that more ways than one. Aha, there we go, she's on. Holland Laura. Hi Laura.
Hello.
Hi. You know what's so interesting? It's this time it was our connection on that was a little bit slow. So awesome. Yes, I think I can only hear you when the show goes live. That's it.
Excellent.
Awesome. So I was just saying to everyone joining us on the show this evening, welcome very much. It is a Tuesday evening in South Africa. And as I left work this evening, Laura, this to me was so beautiful. I was asking the whole day, universe, show me something beautiful, because it was a day of interesting, I don't even know what to call it. It's not funk. It's just something interesting in my world happening today. And as I drove out of the parking lot in the from work, there was this beautiful double rainbow. And I went, wow, you know, how does it get any better than this? So I'm so grateful that my evening of, almost want to say, enchantment continues, and I can have a conversation with you. Welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me. And that double rainbow certainly sounds like quite the message.
I was wondering about that, and maybe this is something that we can discuss on this evening's you know, show, because the show is called Vibrate New Possibilities Into Your Life. And I think before we get, you know, talking on what the topic is for you and, you know, what the possibilities are for the listeners, could you maybe tell people, you know, what it is that you do and who you are and where you're from?
Yes. So I'm from Boston, Massachusetts, and I'm a vibrational and energy healer. I'm an artist, a wife, a mother, a best-selling author, but mostly a bringer of light to the planet. And so I love to use the crystal bowls and other ways to shift people's vibrations, so that if you think about if there's something you want in life and you're not in the place to receive it, if it's not coming to you, it's because it's vibrating at a higher level than you're vibrating. And so I sort of look at it and say, okay, so what are the things we can do to help you increase your vibration so you can raise up to meet it? And your story of the double rainbow is a perfect example of that, because you are going through your day and you are recognizing it wasn't going necessarily according to your intentions. And so you chose to ask to be shown something beautiful, right? You invited something beautiful into your life. And what showed, and by making that invitation, you actually opened up a space so that it could appear for you. Like I strongly would say that if you had continued on without sort of doing that pattern interrupt to shift your vibration, you might not ever have seen that rainbow. It might be there, and you might not ever have noticed it, or it might not ever have actually appeared for you. And that's, you know, so that's all about the work and the vibration.
One thing that you mentioned there when you said that my whole bunch is, whoa, is when you said it might be there, but you might not be able to see it. Is that how you know, most people are in this life. We say that we want something, and it doesn't show up. It doesn't mean that it's not there.
Right. It just means that you don't have access to it.
All right. And I can imagine so many people asking, okay, so how do I get access to that?
So I like to think about it as when we're born into the world, we vibrate at a certain level. And then things happen to us in life. And, you know, think about something really great that happened to you this week, right? Like you saw the double rainbow, you had an event, and you can actually sometimes feel like your heart expands and you welcome it in, and it was a great thing. And then it sort of moves on, right? So you can sort of call back to it, but it feels like you're complete with it and it moves on. But if you think about in your last week something that happened that made you really angry or sad or upset, and if you think about how long you might have stayed in that place and maybe even how many people you shared it with, like you'll get to see that that lower vibration energy, we often, you know, it somehow gets its, you know, is attracted to us. And if we're not very, very careful, you know, it stays in our energy field. And even when we stamp our little feet and say, I'm done with you, like it doesn't necessarily move off. And what happens is if you, you know, raise your hand in the air in front of you, you know, the good experiences you have, you know, will keep your vibration the same or maybe up it a little bit. And the ones that you stay in for longer, the lower vibrational feelings, you know, move your hand down and you'll see your vibrations go down. And so what does that have to do with possibilities we were talking about? So I like to imagine that above all of us as we enter this world, it's almost like these beautiful light strands that are almost like spaghetti that come down and are all these possibilities for us. And when we're vibrating where we're meant to vibrate, we have access to and we can see all of these possibilities and know that they exist for us. And when our vibration is lower, it's almost like the lights start turning off so that more and more we don't have access to everything. And it's not that it doesn't exist, it's that we cannot access it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's rather interesting because I can recall having conversation even with people as close as some family members, right, that would say, you know, that we come into this world with a predestined life. So it doesn't matter what you do, you're still going to end up where you're supposed to be ending up. So I'm curious, is that something that is true for you, or what is it that makes it different, if it is?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I do believe that you come in having a set of things that your soul is wanting to experience in this lifetime, and that you also have free will that's at play. So you can choose not to follow the path that's in front of you, or you can choose to follow the path that's in front of you. And you might go to very, you might go very different ways and end up sometimes having a similar experience no matter which way you went, and sometimes having a very different experience. And I, because I guess I view that it's not one plate. Like, so let's think about this thought of if your purpose in life is to help people live in expansion, to expand and help people live in expansion of themselves, then you could go about that in a whole bunch of different ways. Right, so you can take a path that has you going down a vibrational healing path. You can take a coaching path. You could take a performing path. You could take a, you know, any number of paths. Or you could say, you know what, I'm really not going to do that in this lifetime. And you might find that it still is something that people you connect with have that experience of you, but it's not, you're not leveraging it as much as you could to get it out in the world, if that makes sense.
It does. So would that then beg for people that listen to this go, well, I'm not sure what my purpose is, to look at discovering what that is for them?
Yes, and discovering your purpose So one of the things is that that I've noticed is that sometimes we're the very last people to know what our purpose is, because we have filters on and we can't see our own brilliance, right? Like, how many times do you know somebody, including yourself, that it's very clear what you might have done in a day that you didn't appreciate about yourself, but so often we don't actually acknowledge what we did that it is appreciated and that's our gift to the world. And so when people are looking for what their purpose is in the world, I think some of the best things to do is just ask 5 to 10 people what your top 3 strengths are. Right? So ask 5 to 10 people, get their perspectives. Don't make them right or wrong. Don't argue about it. Don't, like, the only thing you can do is ask and then say, tell me more. Right? And then you sort of take that in and you'll start to see a pattern of what people say, you know, is your gift in the world. And then if you take that and you kind of put it aside for a moment, and then you start looking at what are the things as a kid that you really loved to do? You know, what are the words that come to you about what you love? And you take that, and now you combine those sort of two lists, and you just play with words. You'll find that the words, if you're open to it, the words will just jump off the page at you. And you'll be attracted to certain ones and not to other ones. And a lot of times, you know, it can be as simple as that to start saying, oh, this is what I want to do with my life. This is where I want to come from. This is the place I want to come from. And the other thing I always let people know is you don't necessarily have to have a conscious understanding of what your purpose is to be able to know what the next step is. So if you're a place in your life where you're in between two decisions or you're not sure what is up for you next, if you can quiet your mind, take a couple of deep breaths in, and just ask yourself, what is the next step I need to take right now? You'll be surprised at sometimes what comes to you, that you know the next step. And for some people, if they're not very connected to their intuition right away, it might take you asking this question for 3 or 4 or 5 days. But if you continue to ask that question, it will be shown to you, like, what's the step you need to take? And so often, it feels like we are socialized to want to know where the end is. And yet it also seems to me that human existence, right, is really, you know, about what are you doing in this moment, right? The whole, how can you be present in this moment? And you'll always know in each moment what the right next thing is. But if you start to plan too far ahead, you get yourself right out of that moment.
Oh,
so, yeah, I was going to say, so even if purpose is the reason that stops you from doing something, you know, you can take some simple steps to look at it, or you could just say, you know what, it's okay, I don't really need that for now. I'm just going to look at what I need to do next, like what's the next step for me.
Okay, so that's rather interesting, because one of the words that you know came to mind as you were talking, and I'm wondering, you know, how many people function from waiting. You know, like waiting for their purpose to be revealed, or waiting for, you know, the next steps to show up, or only if something is in place, then they can have, you know, what it is that they say they would like. So what can you tell us about waiting and, you know, what the other possibilities are for people to maybe move beyond that?
Yeah, that's a fun path to go down, because if you think about it, if you're in the waiting for something to happen in life, there's an energy of waiting and there's an energy of being in action around it. And I'm picturing that there's a I don't know, we call them a seesaw or a teeter-totter, right? So there's a piece of wood balanced on something, and it could go to one side or the other. And I think it's this balance that you want to set things in action, but and so you might be waiting for them to come to fruition, but I view the best waiting as sort of an active waiting. So it's like, have you done everything you can to put yourself in the spot? So an example for me would be that I had I have a daughter who's dyslexic, and her school system really wasn't working out for her. It was causing her to feel like she was very much less than and not smart in life, and she's really brilliant. And so we were looking at a new school situation for her, and we found the school that we thought was the perfect fit. And then, you know, we applied, and we were put on the wait list. And on top of being put on the wait list, we were told it's highly unlikely that you will clear the wait list because there are 11 of you on the wait list, and at most we'll have room for one or two more. Like, that's what we typically take from the wait list. So you should line up what your other options are. And I can remember feeling really crushed because it was so clear to me that this was the place for my daughter. And a very, very wise friend of mine said, okay, have you done everything you can? And I'm like, yep. She's like, okay, then you better give it over to the universe. You know, let the universe take care of it. And so every day I just affirmed that whatever was the exact right path for my daughter would open up, and that I would see what was perfect about it and I would support it. And I gave up the attachment to whether she was going to be in this particular school, and I really started focusing in on, you know, show me the situation that's right for her. Like, I'm going to look for that. And so you could say I was in a waiting mode, but it was an active waiting mode because I was always, you know, like, asking the universe for support. And about 30 days later, we got a phone call from the school that we had wanted her to go to that said, we decided to add a whole new class, and so she's in. Like, we can accept you.
Oh, wow.
And
awesome.
It was like, huh. But it did take me actually, like, being conscious, because I could have my the way that I've spent most of my life up until now operating is I can worry with the best of them. I was a world-class worrier, so I could create any situation to worry about. And, you know, what I learned about worry is that you can't be in the present moment if you're in worry. And so when this happened, I chose to release that to the universe instead of carrying the weight of the worry around. Right? And it's that action that allowed it all to fall exactly where it needed to.
Wow. That is such a phenomenal story. And you know what I love about that, as you were talking, I was getting the image of, as you were waiting, or the act of waiting that we're talking about, the letting go of the attachment that you had of the outcome, could that have contributed to the vibration of, you know, what it was that you were looking for and where you were?
Yes, absolutely. Because if you think about, if I still have that attachment that this is the only school that she's going to be able to thrive in, so can you imagine where my vibration goes? Suddenly, I'm really scared, right? I brought in fear. What if she doesn't get into this school? What if this is the only place and she's going to have to suffer through another year somewhere and I'm going to have to watch her suffer? Like, can you just feel how heavy that is?
Mm,
right?
Sure.
Instead of just saying, okay, obviously the universe has our backs. Obviously there is a plan. Obviously it's going to work. I just need to be open to whatever shows up and accepting that. And, you know, sometimes it's really easier said than done to give up the attachment, because oftentimes we don't realize we're attached to an outcome. And Byron Katie, who does the book Loving What Is, has written the book Loving What Is, has a definition from suffering that I love, and it says that suffering is the gap between your expectation and reality.
Wow.
And so often we spend our time in that gap, and we don't recognize that we had an expectation, and that expectation wasn't right or wrong, it just was. But that expectation keeps us from seeing what's perfect about what is.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two boys that are older than my daughter, and they would drive me nuts because they would not pick up after themselves. Like they would go to bed at night and the living room would look like it exploded with electronics equipment. And no matter how many times I asked them to pick it up, I ended up either picking it up in resentment or yelling at them the next day, and that is not how I wanted to parent. I didn't want to parent from that place. And I realized that my expectation was that they'd pick it up, and so when they didn't, I felt like they were disrespecting me. But that's not what was going on in their minds. Once I accepted that the reality was that it was easier for them to leave it all out, then I could get into a conversation with myself about what could change their behavior. Because now it wasn't about me and whether they respected me or not. And so the next day I announced, I said, okay, here's the deal. Anything that's left in the living room after you go to bed at night is mine for 24 hours. And if you want it back, you need to do a chore to get it done, or you need to put it away, or you need to wait 24 hours. And for the first week, a whole bunch of chores got done around my house. And then they actually figured out that wasn't, you know, like that I was serious about it, and they changed their behavior. But I didn't have to yell. I didn't have to scream. I didn't take it personally. But it was all from this just accepting what was. What was is that they were leaving their stuff around every night.
Mm. Oh, it is so adorable.
Exactly.
Oh, that is phenomenal. So curious, right? Because we actually worked together on the book I'm Having It. And in it, you're saying, you know, really it's possible for you to have it. Whatever it is that you would like, you can have it. And so I think the question goes to if we look at having it, what it is that we say we desire, and actually giving up the attachment of the it that we say we want, is it a mix-up message?
Yeah, it's one of life's beautiful ironies that oftentimes the best way to get what you want is to give up the attachment to what you want, which is, and let me make a distinction. So if you are clear that there's a relationship, let's say, that you really want in your life and it's not showing up for you yet, then it's really great for you to look at yourself and say, you know, look at it and say, well, what is it that's keeping it from showing up? Like, where is it that I'm not allowing this into my life? What actions am I having? What behaviors am I having that aren't supporting it showing up in my life? Because very often, especially as it relates to if you're wanting to be in a relationship, a lot of times people want to be in a relationship so that they'll feel complete and whole.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can't really get into a relationship until you already feel complete and whole. So you can see how if you are looking then at yourself and saying, okay, so do I feel complete and whole already? Or do I feel like a relationship would complete me? And that's a really important distinction. And if you feel complete and whole already, then who you are and what you're putting out in life is at a vibration that you're accepting of yourself, and other people feel that. And that's the thing about vibration is, you know, it speaks for itself even when you don't know it's talking for you, right? So when you walk into a room, sometimes you walk into a room and you can tell something awkward has just happened, or a fight has just happened, or something is unsettled. And at the same token, you could walk in a room and feel like, wow, this is the place I really want to be. And that's all the energy. Like, the energy goes ahead of us into different situations. So if you want desperately to be in a relationship and you have an energy where you feel like you need another person to be complete, that's the message that's going in front of you. So it can literally be scaring people off to be like, whoa, that's a lot of responsibility. I don't want to be responsible for completing somebody. Do you see what I mean?
Yes, I do. Well, that's rather interesting. So I'm also glad to be getting to play with the vibrations as, you know, as well. So I'm wondering, you know, what is it that you can tell people about vibrations and how they can, what is it? Do you change vibrations? Do you manipulate vibrations? How do people then use vibrations to really create what it is that they desire?
Right. So there's some really simple ways to switch up your vibration. And you can do it at any time. And one of them is, you know how oftentimes right after lunch you get into that funk where you're not sure you're not focused. It's hard to get your attention at whatever you're trying to do. If you ever find yourself really like just not being able to focus, if you literally take your hands and just clap in front of your body, you know, up in front of it and behind your head and down behind your body, if you just clap and then you take a moment and breathe into that space, you will notice that you've shifted up your vibration, because sound shifts vibration. So clapping works because you always have your hands with you. Music works because, and especially sort of that upbeat things that remind you of a good groove, right? That works because it's switching in your energy. The other thing that works is if you listen to any kind of chanting or mantra music. I have a new favorite one, and it just, you know, can it just opens up that vibration for you. One of my favorite things to do when I feel like, oh, I just need to switch things up, can be to take a walk in nature, just to be outside for 5 minutes, and just, you know, keep your cell phone in your pocket, and just notice, like as you said earlier tonight, show me something beautiful. Like, what? Just look for where is the beauty that already exists around you. And the other thing that is one of my absolute favorites is if you run a nice hot tub and you put in Epsom salts or sea salt and baking soda, and you just soak in it, you know, it actually will clear lower vibrational energy right out of you. It's a natural cleanser. The other things that do that are crystals, you know, amethyst crystal in your work environment or by your bed at night. You know, they're great for just clearing negative energy out of anywhere. So there are a whole bunch of things you can do. And so you can change your vibration as this, okay, I notice it's not where I want it to be and I need to change it. Or you can also change it as part of a whole structure to say, I am looking for an ongoing pattern. And so the way you would increase your vibration is, so I challenge everybody to imagine what their calendar looks like for the next 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then to say, okay, so where on my calendar have I actually scheduled in some fun for me? And that fun could be scheduling in time to take a walk or to do your workout. That fun could be scheduling time with friends. That fun could be painting, just fooling around painting because you like to do it, or doodling, or meditating. It could be any number of things. But it seems like we're really conditioned to put in our commitments and our obligations in our calendars. But oftentimes, fun is the thing we try to squeeze in if we have room at the end of the day. instead of saying, what is it that really lights us up and makes us feel alive? And how do I put some of that into each one of my days?
It's just, having you say it that way, for me, it just brings about, wow, if I was willing to add more of that into my day, or and every day, just how much more will that create for the tasks that I need to do, you know, that my normal calendar action.
Right. And the other thing that having that space in, because sometimes, you know, again, if we're talking about calendars, if you look at your calendar, is there any space in it? And it was, I believe it was, it was either Edison or Einstein, I don't remember, but they actually fished. And they fished, and somebody said, do you ever catch anything? And he's like, good Lord, no. Like, his time, his hour a day for fishing was so that he had moments, he had time and space so that his mind could run free and he could imagine all the possibilities. And then that would solve problems for him. He would come back from his hour of fishing and whatever it was that had been a problem before he left, suddenly he had a new idea about how to address it. And so, you know, we're conditioned to think if we're not doing something that, you know, we're not going to get a result, and yet the reverse can be true. If you actually walk away and let something be and then come back to it, you can often make more progress.
Yeah, it brings it back to, you know, even if it's fishing, it's you're changing a vibration at the end of the day. You're changing from something that was to something different, and it's not getting into the space of defining what the vibration will be. It's so interesting, and I'm also wondering how much do our listeners know about vibration and actually, you know, changing the vibrations to work for them? Because I can recall one, this was a long, long time ago, years and years ago, I bought something at a shop. And it didn't work well, but they were very strict in terms of their policies, what they would take in to repair, and what they would then just say, well, you know what, this didn't work for you, let's give you a new one. And there was a time, you know, in the, we'll have to have it repaired, and then you can get it. So I can recall standing there with my son going, you know, I wonder about what vibration I have to be the vibration required to just have it replaced. And even though it was supposed to be repaired, the manager just came and said, you know what, we're just going to replace it for you. And I went, wow, you know, how phenomenal is this?
Right.
But that was before I got to play, you know, with the what I know now. So in terms of looking at, yes, it's possible for us to have what it is that we want with vibrations. How else can vibrations be used in terms of, and you mentioned sound, in creating in what we say? Speaking it.
Yeah, and it's such a fabulous point, because a lot of what creates our vibration already, like if we weren't conscious of vibration, a lot of what creates our vibration is our thoughts, right? So each one of our thoughts have a vibration, and you can imagine the thought that says, wow, this is going to be a fantastic day and great things are going to happen for me. So you can sort of feel that's light and airy, right? And you can also imagine the thought that says, gee, I wonder what's not going to work for me today.
Okay.
Right? And the thing about thoughts is that oftentimes our thoughts are unconscious. Like, we don't know we're having them until we're having them, because they're so ingrained in us. We started having them as kids, and then that thought just comes to us. Like, you know, I went through a phase where, you know, it's sort of more of a belief, but it comes from a thought that you had to work hard in order to earn money. Not just work, like it was like you had to work hard. So money would only come in for me when I was actually putting out a lot of effort instead of being in the energy of, oh, I'm open to receive all the money there is for me out in the universe. Like, I am open to receive it. And, you know, so if you think about our thoughts, setting up what our vibrations are, what that means is if you find yourself complaining about something, or if you find yourself wishing that something different were happening, like, those are all thoughts that are of a lower vibration, right? Those are thoughts that aren't necessarily going to align you with things that you want to have happen in your life. But if, as with most things in life, like, there's that saying, energy goes where, energy attention. Flows where attention goes, right? So if I'm going to get up and I'm going to see all the things that are happening in my life, that I can't afford this and I can't afford that and I don't have enough money for this and this isn't working for me, then I'm going to, it's going to feel like it's heavy all day. But if I can look at what is showing up that I want, right? So let's say that that I have a desire to bring more financial abundance into my life, right? So I can look at it and say, when I find that penny on the ground, I can pick it up and say, oh, it's only a penny. Gosh, I wish it were a $100 bill. I could really use that right now. Or I could say, thank you, universe, for sending me this penny. I am open to receiving more. Mm-hmm. Right? And then when I walk into the grocery store and that thing that I needed to buy is 50% off, I can say, oh, this is awesome. Thank you. Like, for taking care of me and for providing for me. And then when, you know, something else happens, it's sort of like if you keep looking for evidence that what you're asking for is coming into your life, you will keep finding it. And if you keep looking for evidence that what you want isn't coming into your life, you will find that too. So you really have to ask yourself, which evidence do you want to be finding?
Well, okay. Yeah, for me, that's rather clear. And I will thank you so much. That's going to be my reminder every day for the next day, for the next week. Awesome. Thank you so much. So, what intrigues me as well, right? You have and still are creating a phenomenal life with the art that you do and, you know, the books that you write. So I'm curious, do you use your an intentional vibration? I don't really know how else to say that. When you are playing in your ceramic studio or writing a book?
Yeah, that is. The answer is sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. And when I am intentional about it, then it is much, everything happens with much more ease. So it doesn't take, and so it, so if you imagine, I don't necessarily think, so if you imagine vibrations on a scale of 1 to 100 or something, I don't necessarily say I want to be vibrating here. Like, I don't have a relationship with vibrations that would be like, yep, this is what I want. And that could work for some people. But I more have opening myself up to say, okay, so I am, it's more of this surrendering to whatever creative process is ready to come through me. What is it that I need to write that can help people expand and live their lives in a better way? I'm also a ceramic artist, and I create healing vessels. So I make different things out of clay, and some are bowls, some are plates, some are platters, whatever. But they all have a vibrational quality to them that will change the vibration in a room. And I do that by just tapping in and giving myself permission to follow whatever guidance I'm given. And it's kind of funny because I'll think that I'm making one thing, And then I'll be like, oh, no, just leave that or move that around or do this or do that. And it comes out entirely different than what was in my mind. But it turns out to be the perfect, like I've come to accept that it came out perfectly. It just isn't what I expected. Or when I go to glaze something, I'm looking at all the glaze combinations and there's some that just sort of pop out like, okay, wait a minute, I need this or I need that. And so for me, it's just being open to that inner guidance that shows up for me. And for the listeners, I have to say that I was the person maybe 10, 12 years ago that said, really, I have a spirit guide? Does everybody have a spirit guide? Even me? Like, that's how much I was not in touch with my own inner guidance. I had not grown up giving myself permission to experience that and have gone through a journey. You know, so now I'm on the other side of it, helping other people through it, which kind of cracks me up because I was in that like, oh, yeah, no, I don't get it that way. And part of it for me is that my inner guidance is actually a knowing that I have inside of my head. And I frankly had so many voices inside of my head that I couldn't tell which was my inner guidance and which was my, you know, which was my critic or my whatever else. And over time, what I realized is that my inner guidance is always kind and generous and expansive. And, you know, other people get guidance through messages in their body. You know, they might have messages in their energy centers. And still others might have visuals, either in black and white or in color. I have a client who hears music, and the words to the music has meaning for her. And so I think that I spent a lot of time around people who were very visual, and so they saw a lot of their guidance. And so I just thought, oh, I don't really get that. That's not really for me. When in reality, it was just that I experienced energy and my own guidance in a different way.
Okay. Well, would that be the same for vibrations? Because I'm wondering now, if you're talking about how you create something, it's so, for me, in my mind, so vast because you're tapping into the vibration of the clay, the earth, everything else. And being willing to create what is, I don't even want to say what's required in this world, but just what is going to maybe create the greatest possibilities, if I can put it that way. So
right.
I'm not perceiving that you define what vibration is or how it shows up or how you actually use it. And it's, I might be wrong, but that just feels so yummy for me. So can you talk a little bit more about not defining, you know, what we could have for vibration?
Yeah. So one of the things that I do to help people raise their vibration is I play the crystal bowls. And they're these bowls, if you can imagine, they're, I don't know, 20 or 30 inches or, you know, half a meter or bigger wide. And they have this resonance, this beautiful sound that comes out of them. And the sound isn't just something that your ears hear. It's something that your whole body can feel. And, you know, so if you think about, you know, the floor vibrating under your feet, you know, there, I used to live in an apartment where whenever a truck went by, the floor would vibrate. But the crystal bowls have more of this all-over feeling that they're weaving their way in through your energy fields. And what's happening is that they're vibrating at a really high level, so energy you don't need anymore can be released because you think about in our energy fields, if we're holding on to a lower vibrational energy that we don't need anymore, it can, you know, things happen in our energetic body before they make their way into our physical body. So let's say that, you have the beginning of an illness coming on, it'll show up in your energy. And so clearing your energy field and keeping your field clean is a really good way of continuing to stay in health. And when I play these crystal bowls, every time I play them, they play differently because they play to whoever's in the room, because we all have a different energetic makeup. And so everyone will have their own experience, and at the same time, there'll be a common theme of why we're all gathered together. So it may be, releasing something around our hearts, or really connecting in with our intuitions. But what I have noticed is that some people will describe they experience vibration as maybe they are hot, like maybe they can actually feel their body warming up, and that's how they experience vibration. Where somebody else will say, I experience it like I'm in the middle of a sound wave, and I feel like, I can feel like this motion, like it's a physical, movement going on around me in a certain direction. And other people will say, like, I can feel it physically in my body, like I could feel something moving around in my hip, or I could feel like somebody pulling energy off of my back or out of my heart. So it's very visual for some people. And so what I've learned is that, like, this whole idea of vibration and energy, everybody can experience it in a very different way. And what I encourage people to do is look at what is happening for them, not how should it be happening, but literally what is happening, because their body will give them clues of what mm-hmm. is happening.
Okay, and that makes me wonder, our bodies, do they actually vibrate at a different frequency? And, how else do we tap into, I almost want to say, the knowledge that our bodies have about frequency that we might not be aware of?
So how do we step into that? So our body often tells us when something is not vibrating at the level of everything else when you have a pain in your body, right? So when you have things going on with your feet and your lower legs, that's usually oftentimes a fear of moving forward in life. When you have things that are going on in your neck, like a stiff neck, is often like that you're not as flexible in life as you're being called to be. And if you have neck and shoulder problems, like tightness, it's like you tend to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. Like you are carrying it. People aren't, or you're taking it from other people, but you're carrying that weight. So oftentimes our bodies very much reflect what's happening. And at a cellular level, our bodies will store stuff. It will store energy for us. And I have I always know that I have something going on with my family of origin, so the family I was born into, when my left knee starts hurting. And it's usually, for me, it's a symbol, a signal that I am not speaking my needs. Because I grew up, I have three brothers, and none of us are 2 years apart. And, if one of us swam, we all swam. If one of us went to tennis, we all went to tennis. And so at an early age, I figured out that it was easier not to have needs. So I my needs went somewhere else, right? I gave them permission to go somewhere else, because can you imagine what a sad kid I would be if I had that thought every day about my needs weren't being met? I didn't even have that thought. And that was fine until I was, about 30 and had a family. And my husband would say, what do you want for your birthday? And I'd say, I don't know. So he'd do something, and I'd be like thinking, that's not what I wanted. But I knew I was the problem. Like, I knew I had spent so many years not acknowledging I had needs, I didn't even have a way to know what I needed. And so I took my one of my good friends, Di, who has not a problem speaking her needs, and I would think, what would Di want? And then I could think of four or five things, and then from there I could say, okay, well, which of those do I think sounds good? And so it was a way for me to sort of jumpstart getting in touch with my own needs, because if you don't pay attention to them for 30 years, you can't just turn a switch and expect that they're going to come on. You have to figure out how do you reconnect with that. And so what I find is that a lot of times, at least in my life, this whole concept of needs, like I'll have figured out what my needs are. That was a big victory for me. And for a while, that was great. And then I realized, oh, the universe, life was calling for me to be even bigger about my needs, to have more needs and to speak them even louder. And so, you know, like I would know that because my left knee would start hurting and I'd be like, okay. You could say it wasn't, you know, you could do an x-ray of it, you could look at an MRI and there was nothing wrong with my knee and it hurt a lot. And whenever I would step into that speaking my needs, then it would release whatever was stuck there. And I sort of view it like, you know, I spent 30 years of pushing all of that, like not having needs, into that one part of my body. And eventually it's just like, yeah, no, we're not going to take any more. Like, there's no more room for it. Like, we have to go somewhere else. But I'm thinking, did I answer your question, though?
You did. You did. And you actually opened up such an invitation for me, and I'm sure the listeners as well, is that in there was an awareness of you that there's more available to you than what you have even imagined. So in terms of knowing that there's more available, and maybe looking at, not a lot of the listeners might know, you know, that they have that available to them. Is there I almost want to say an energetic exercise that you can take us through, because we don't have that much time left in the show anymore, but an energetic exercise that you can take us through to invite us to play with the higher vibrations, the vibrations of more, for us to really, explore what else is possible.
I could. I'd be delighted to. So I invite everybody to just close their eyes and take a couple of deep breaths, maybe into your nose and out through your mouth. And feel some part of your body grounded into the earth. It might be your feet, it might be your back, whatever it is. And feel the earth really supporting you. And know that you're in a sacred and a safe space. And I want you to take your next breath in and imagine it running from the bottom of your feet all the way up to the crown of your head. And as you continue to breathe in from the bottom of your feet through the crown of your head, if there's a place that your breath gets stopped, I just want you to go ahead and spend a little bit of extra time just breathing right there. And just note to yourself where that is. And if you want, you can ask it what it's about. Or you can just simply release it. You can thank it. And just let it move on so that your breath can flow freely. Again, from the bottom of your feet all the way up to the crown of your head. And then as you're in this place, I invite you to just ask the question, Is there any part of my body that has a message for me? And just see what shows up for you. It could be a knowing you have in your mind. It could be a physical sensation. It could be something you see. So again, you're just asking, does my body have a message for me? And if you have some sense of what that message is, and even if you don't, I invite you to now imagine that there's a bright white light above your head. And I want you to imagine that you're breathing in that bright white light from the crown of your head all the way down in through to the bottom of your feet. And as you breathe it in, you're breathing in all of these possibilities. And maybe you're breathing even more into whatever space in your body might have been talking to you. But you're just allowing your whole body to be flooded with this white, white light. And you're inviting anything that's not at the vibration of that white light to just gently be released, to find its way back to its light. And you can even imagine that this white light is starting to move itself from right around your body to maybe even a foot outside of your body or 2 feet outside of your body. Just continue to grow the space that this white light is taking up. And really allow yourself to take up as much space with that white light as you possibly can. And from this expansive place, I invite you to just ask, you know, what's the word? What's a word that the universe is giving you to bring into your life today? What would be the word that would help and support you? And just let that word exist. And maybe set the intention for the rest of your day to have that word show up and to bring to you whatever it needs to have you see it in the light that best serves you. And when you're ready, I welcome you to bring yourself back. Maybe open your eyes. You might want to write your word down so that you can keep it in front of you for the rest of the day.
Wow, Laura, that was phenomenal. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's getting, and this is what I love about being able to talk to people like you, and you in particular as well, is that even though it's later in at night time, I'm so going, okay, great, this is my word, so what else can I do? You know, the whatever tiredness that there was, or the, you know, the rest of the day that wasn't as good as it's been, it's just gone. And I'm so grateful for the possibilities that you've created, not just in my life, but also those of people listening now, and those that will be listening. You know, how phenomenal is that?
It is awesome.
So I'm also wondering, what is it that you're busy with at the moment, and how can people connect with you?
So what I'm busy with at the moment is writing a chapter of the book Releasing Judgment, on the power of releasing judgment. And that's been pretty powerful. And I am also in the process of both making these healing vessels for people all over the world, and also playing the crystal bowls. And I'm starting to record crystal bowls so that I can have people tune in from all over. And in fact, I do have an awesome crystal bowl. If I've been talking about them and you're intrigued, if you go to my website, which is Artful, A-R-T-F-U-L, healings, with an S, .com, and you do a / free gift. I actually did a crystal bowl recording. It's about 20 minutes long that goes with the book of I'm Having It. And so It's all about shifting up your vibration to allow you to connect with what you want in life. And so I would encourage anybody who's listening who has something that they're like, I really would like this in my life, to go ahead and sign up to get that free gift and play that recording. And it's not a one-time thing. It's like every time you play it, you'll shift your vibration and you'll notice something different. So I invite you to play it and then to just be in the noticing of what is shifting and changing in your own life.
That's great. Thank you so much. I'll make sure to include the website and the links into the email with a replay. Laura, and with that, this is the end of the show, and I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show today. And you know, I look forward to playing with you even more.
Thank you, Sherlinda, and thank you for the invitation and who you are in the world that helps get messages out for exactly what people need to hear in that moment.
Awesome. Fabulous. Thank you so much. And
all right,
with that, bye, Laura.
Goodbye.
Bye, everyone else that has dialed in. And we'll chat to you soon next week again, Tuesday at 8 o'clock. Bye, everyone.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? beingyouclass.com.